It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
This is California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn with Dan Berger, and the prodigal son of California Wine Country has made an entrance here today. We haven't seen him in a while. Barry Herbst, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn.
How you doing?
Today we have the return of winemaker Erica Stancliffe from Trombetta.
Hello there.
And an expert, I guess, on the wines of the Petaluma Gap. You know, as I always say, I love the gateway thing. As we've always said, Fulton is the gateway to Windsor. It's true.
Ready for that.
But here it says, the Petaluma Gap is the premier gateway to the Sonoma Coast in northern Marin County. It was just 2 years ago that the Petaluma Gap became an AVA. Also with us is Tom Gendel, assistant winemaker at the fabulous Klein Winery. Good to see you guys again.
Thanks for having us back. It's great to be back.
Yeah, it's cool. Erica. Oh, Erica. Tell us about Trombetta, the history and such, and your history, how you became a winemaker.
So my mother started working for Paul Hobbs in the late 90s, and that was kind of our first introduction into the wonderful world of commercial wine and actually making wine for a living. My parents had been home winemakers since the 80s in their little Forestville property. Yeah, they bought a place in 89 in Forestville, and a really good family friend from Hewlett-Packard taught everyone how to make wine, all these engineers trying to learn how to grow Chardonnay and Cabernet Sauvignon in Russian River back in the 80s. So I went to school, got my degree at Fresno State in Enology, and in 2010, my mother and I started Trombetta Family Wines. Her maiden name is Trombetta, thus where the name was born. And Paul Hobbs was our consulting winemaker until 2014 when I came in and took over as winemaker after a few years.
What was the first vintage?
Our first vintage was 2010, and it was with a Gap's Crown Pinot Noir, so that's also where our love for the Petaluma Gap started.
Okay, and Tom, talk about Klein. That's an iconic label here.
Yeah, Klein's iconic. It's been around for a while. It was started in 1982 down in Contra Costa.
Wow.
Fred Klein learned winemaking from his grandfather, who was of the Jacuzzi family name and Italian heritage. He learned winemaking through that and started making wine from the grapevines out in Contra Costa. Those grapevines were planted in the late 1800s. Own-rooted, beautiful vines out there, mainly focusing on things like Zinfandel, Rhone varietals, Syrah, Grenache, Mavidra. There's also a little Carignan out there, Alicante Boucher, Petit Syrah, some really interesting, fantastic varietals. He ended up moving to Sonoma County in 1989. He brought his first property and started planting in 1991. The tasting room moved there pretty shortly afterwards, and now the winery is based there. We make a variety of wines. We make a huge plethora of wines, including Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, and that's kind of where I fall into it. In 2011, they started opening up their portfolio and making Pinot Noir and Chardonnay from their holdings within the Petaluma Gap. They have about 650 acres planted in the Petaluma Gap. We now make Chardonnay, Pinot, Pinot Gris, Viognier, Syrah, Merlot, amongst some other things. We've got a little Roussan, we got some Marsan out there, we got some Nebbiolo, Sangiovese, a whole bunch of things planted out there.
Are you from New Zealand?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
Just a little.
Just the accent.
Yeah, no, I've been out here for 8 years. Moved out here in 2011 and been loving it ever since. Great, cool. Great lifestyle out here and lots of potential.
Yeah. Erica, talk about the exact location, geography-wise, of the Petaluma Gap.
So the Petaluma Gap actually starts all the way out at the Pacific Ocean. I brought my little trusty map for those of us here in the studio. And so it starts kind of right north of Bodega Bay, and the gap goes all the way down to right south of Tomales along the Pacific Ocean, and then comes in eastward, where there is a gap in the hills, which actually are running east to west and create this natural occurring wind tunnel. So the wind tunnel starts at the Pacific Ocean, runs all the way through Petaluma, hits off of Sonoma Mountain, and goes out and dumps out in the San Pablo Bay right at the north tip. So
is that one of the larger AVAs that we have?
It is, I would say acreage-wise, yes, but as far as planted acreage, no.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
If Dan gets off his cell phone, he's making lots of calls today, apparently.
Trading stocks.
Sure. Busy day.
Go for it.
Give me your thoughts on the wines from the Petaluma Gap.
I think the Petaluma Gap is one of the more legitimate appellations in America because it was defined specifically by a...
Is that your stockbroker? I mean, you can go ahead and take the call.
It was designed specifically to identify the cooler regions of an area that was otherwise somewhat poorly identified, part of it being called Sonoma Coast. Sonoma Coast is much larger and much more amorphous. It doesn't really have a broad enough impact in terms of its distinctiveness, in terms of the aromatics and the acid levels and so forth. You can find Sonoma Coast wines from much farther north. I'm going to turn this off.
Yeah, thank you.
Now I put this thing off. Okay.
Turn the damn phone off.
Okay, got it. We don't really know very much about what some of the other regions of Sonoma Coast do. We do know what Petaluma Gap does because it has a wind contingent, if you wish to call it that, series of winds that occur from morning to evening. They're different winds. They have different temperature gradients. They really provide a completely different sort of acid level for the wines, and that means that these wines typically are better structured, better balanced, and go better with food.
So is most of the AVA considered a cool climate?
I would say all of it is
really?
Cool climate.
It's the first one defined by weather, I think, rather than geography or soil.
Really?
First one, you know, basically it was just traced out by the route of the wind that you were showing on the map.
So when we actually put in our petition into TTB to ask for this AVA, we had multiple wind stations all throughout what we considered the Petaluma Gap region taking wind readings all throughout the day, all throughout the night. And that's where we kind of really got to draw the boundaries because of that consistent wind right around 11 miles an hour that was coming through this gap. So with all of that data, we were able to then send it back and say, this isn't about terroir. This is about weather. This is about the climate through here. And this is a wind-driven AVA.
Fascinating. So again, Dan's on with a stockbroker or something. He's left the room.
Majors, yeah.
Yeah, I guess some big deal's coming up. Maybe he's speaking at Donald Trump's Tankapalooza tomorrow.
Oh, God.
Okay. we kind of went over this, but to get a little more detailed on the types of wines that do so good in the Petaluma Gap.
So predominantly we are known for Pinot Noir in the Petaluma Gap, and then of course Chardonnay and our cool climate Syrah. So today what we're pouring in the studio is Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and Syrah, because those are what the Gap are very well known for. But with the cool climate comes the opportunity. There are other varietals that are starting to pop up. Klein obviously has an extensive wealth of knowledge with all the other varietals.
I'm quickly becoming a huge fan of Viognier. It's just a fantastic varietal to work with. But we also grow Pinot Gris in there. That does fantastic. A lot of the aromatics, I think, would do quite well. The cooler climate allows the acidity to keep the balanced wines. Aromatic varietals really rely on that balance between flavor and just acidity.
How does Chardonnay do in cooler climates?
Well, the best part about Chardonnay is that if it grows in a warm climate, it accumulates sugar faster, and therefore it doesn't have time to develop any of its natural flavors.
Hmm.
The colder climates is where Chardonnay really ought to be grown in the first place.
Really?
And in this particular region, you've got so many different little pockets where the cooling is different from different times of the day. The winds come in from different angles. It's really an interesting dynamic that most people are not familiar with. I did a little investigation with a winemaker by the name of Jeff Gaffner some years ago, and Jeff's been making wine from that area for several years. And, boy, he really loves this whole appellation is a fascinating and it's yet to even be discovered by most people.
Yeah.
It's only 2 years old.
No, right. It is. And, you know, the way that the Petaluma Gap really kind of came to be was that so many people knew of this growing region and already referred to it as the Petaluma Gap because a lot of people were seeking out cool climate Pinot and cool climate Chardonnay. I mean, you have some amazing vineyards down here that are very well known. I'm pouring my Gap's Crown Chardonnay. So you have Gap's Crown, San Giacomo, Roberts Road, Sun Chase, Keller Estate. You know, a lot of vineyards that are really well known for quality and sourced to multiple people throughout the county. County and multiple different wineries. And a lot of other vineyards are up and coming and getting that notoriety because the recognition of the cool climate, the recognition of the quality of the fruit that's being grown in the gap is starting to become more widespread with the winemakers in the area.
It's kind of like a crescendo of flavors. You want to be able to hang your fruit for as long as possible because the longer you can hang it, the flavors become
I don't know if you can say hang your fruit on this show.
Are we a PG show? I didn't really get that. Sorry.
I tease.
We're talking about grapes here, people.
But the longer that you can leave the fruit out in the vines, the more flavor it gets, the more concentration it gets. It's just like it's a crescendo, that like a drum roll that's slowly building up. The longer you can draw that drum roll out, the better the quality of the fruit will be at the end of it, as long as you don't miss it and fall off the edge.
So this is a Trombetta Shard?
Yes, it is, and it's from Gap's Crown. Thank you. Yeah, so this vineyard is so amazing. Sorry, I can speak still. Because of where it's located on the southwest-facing slope of Sonoma Mountain, so you get the elevation above the fog level, but it gets the brunt force of that wind from the wind tunnel. Wow. So with that comes the maintaining of that beautiful acidity in the mid-palate, but also the minerality from the vineyard and also the concentration, because this is one of my latest harvested vineyards. And the Chardonnay actually harvests later than the Pinot. It takes longer to ripen out there than the Pinot does.
Really?
That's because of the wind. It slows the development of sugar down and allows for the development of flavor profile that you don't see in a warmer climate.
Talk about this shirt. Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, even though the soils are different here, the weather is a lot more similar to the most famous Chardonnays in the world, which come from France, from Burgundy. They have the long, cool growing season. They have a little more limestone in their soil there, but the Gap replicates that long season that they get in Burgundy. Much cooler, much more extended than what you get in the warmer parts.
So your thoughts, since I'm on a wine vacation, that means no wine vacation. Dan, tell me your thoughts on this Chardonnay.
Well, I think from the aroma you get here, a Burgundian kind of a cast to it with clearly an obvious note of sort of I hate to use the word butter, but it's almost like a faint tropical note that's been buried under some almost squash-like characteristics, which are really fascinating in terms of the complexity that's not yet showing. This wine needs another 2 years, maybe 3 years, before any of those components will start to really come together. The reason that you know it's going to come together is that once you get it in the mouth, you realize the acidity is all there waiting to protect this wine for that long term in the cellar. So another 3 years at least, could go five, I think. One of the secrets to a wine like this is it really is not supposed to be tasted in a studio. It's supposed to be with food.
Right. Well, you can go call your stockbroker if you want.
Oh, a lot of people decanting white wines for this reason. Yeah, so they're really closed down and young.
Would this work a decanting for an hour or two?
I would love this better in with an hour or maybe two or three. The fact is that the aromatics that are here are so fascinating, and yet with exposure to air, these wines really open up. They become a little bit more expansive. And this wine's already rich and kind of have a slight oily component to it in the mid-palate, but the aftertaste has got much of the acidity is what's carrying the aftertaste, and that's really why I like this wine for decanting.
And Barry,
potential.
Yes.
No doubt that both Trombetta and Klein are big sellers at Bottle Barn.
They are. They're no doubt when I can get them. Klein makes a little bit more wine, so I've always got something.
Hey, Trombetta.
Oh, I'm sorry. 1,200 cases isn't enough for you, Barry.
they're quick sellers, definitely. And I love the Chardonnay. It's not cloying at all. It's so much of the Chardonnay that was popular for a long time. It was buttery, oak-driven, and just that took over the whole profile, where this very light on its feet, a lot of persistence, delicate, fresh. It's something you didn't used to get in Chardonnay.
And when you put it in your mouth, the very first sip you get shows the acidity.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's succulent, and then after there's an aftertaste of acid. No, here the acid is from front to back.
Yeah, persists the entire time.
Erica, you had mentioned that the Petaluma Gap was very large geographically or acre-wise or whatever, but how many wineries do we have working out of the Gap now?
You know,
approximately, if you don't know.
As far as brick and mortar wineries. We're probably somewhere around, it looks like we have 6 tasting rooms, so probably brick and mortar under 10. We have new ones that are in the process of being built or in the process of being expanded. But there are only, so there are 202,000 acres in the Petaluma Gap, and of that, only 4,000 acres are planted. So it is a large area that is predominantly from that wind that is not planted right now. Some people are starting to venture out further west towards Tomales and further south towards Marin because we dip into the Marin County. But people are kind of still in the process of either expanding what they have or just starting to really recognize the gap as opposed to being this well-established AVA.
Still mostly dairy farms out there.
Yeah.
And one other thing that's Butter really eggs. Important to yes. recognize is that some of this area is not yet proven as a great wine region because it's so difficult to ripen the fruit every single vintage. You have to really know what you're doing. Farming is difficult.
Yeah, there's some cold pockets like out near Two Rock and that area.
I know guys. But that's kind of part of the risk. I mean, if you're making great wine every year, you're not actually making great wine. You're making good wine. The whole challenge of it is that you should be putting it all on the line, and you don't know if you're going to get there or not. That's the risk. Mm. That's the kind of risk-reward balance that truly great winemakers are up for every year, and that they're pushing the fruit, the farming, and the winemaking to the utmost limits to get the best out of it. And
so they're working really hard.
Yeah. And you don't know what's going to happen each year. You really are trying to fight the elements and produce the most exquisite, stunning examples from those regions and from those areas.
Mother Nature can be extremely unforgiving at times and can also be extremely benevolent at times. So you're always having to deal with that factor. We can't know what's going to happen in growing season. The last few years, we've had rain in September. And luckily for us, with the winds, it doesn't seem to have an impact on our fruit.
Really?
However, that doesn't mean that we're not still stressing out come September, you know, middle of September, we're going, oh, geez, is it going to rain? Is this going to hurt our vineyard? What's going on? I mean, the drought, everything. We are constantly rolling with the punches, and that's part of the beauty and also misery of this industry is we're glorified farmers trying to make a product out of
and
the land.
And you just don't know.
Exactly.
Until you know.
When you look at the European model and stuff and how those great vineyards, they're only making great wines 1 out of every 3 years or so on things.
If they're lucky.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas we're blessed with great this California sunshine that we all love. However, in the Petaluma Gap, we're pushing it just a little bit further where we're only getting, you know, 2 out of 3 harvests are great. The other ones are really challenging and really difficult. And when you're pushing things to that limit, that's where you really get the true expression of the wine. You get all the detail. You get the interest. You get the intrigue. You spend the hour just tasting it and exploring the wines. Like the Chardonnay, you do the first taste, and that gives you one impression. You do another one and another one and another, and you can keep on exploring the wine. And that's what we're really looking for in the Gap, that detail, that expression, and that really complexity that is unique to that area.
All right, we're going to check out a Trombetta. This is a Pinot.
We're actually going to be pouring Deloach. We decided to bring in one of the Marin County drop-ins of the Petaluma Gaps from the Stubbs Vineyard because we wanted to show some more diversity of the far south gap and what else, you know, the coastal influence has to offer for us.
We're talking about the Petaluma Gap on California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Dan Berger is here, Barry Herbst from Bottle Barn. Tom Gendahl, assistant winemaker at the fabulous Klein, and Erica Stancliffe, winemaker at the fabulous Trombetta Wines, all about the Petaluma Gap. And while there may be a Gap store in Petaluma, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about the clothing store and the strip mall. No, we're talking about an AVA that started 2 years ago, the Petaluma Gap. Barry, you had something you wanted to talk to Tom about?
Oh, I was going to mention that... Well, first I tried to bid on the girls' version, the women's version, at the Sonoma Barrel auction of the Petaluma Gap.
The girls barrel. Have a very loyal following for obvious reasons.
Yeah, we talked about this last time. Yeah. So
that's interesting.
After being beaten down on that, I moved on to the men's side.
You say you chose a second, Barry. That's kind of mean and like nasty.
Well, no, I was going
to try
my
ball. You guys were after us. That's why.
But anyway,
he had
I wound
to.
Up with their barrel, which I guess I'll get sometime next year, right?
We're looking at bottling it in September, October, and we can give it to you then, but I don't recommend releasing it till early next year, January, February. We've got a barrel head to give you as well with all the wineries that participated and also a logo engraved into it. It's beautiful, and the wine is fantastic. We were lucky enough to get donated a barrel from Rousseau Barrel in Burgundy, And they gave us a little 30-gallon barrel to wedge your wine into until we bottle it. And it's just a fantastic blend. It was a work of myself at Klein Cellars. We had Rodney Strong. We also had 37 Wines, which we're just pouring that Pinot right now. Mm-hmm. And then we also had Fogline Vineyards. So the four winemakers, we all collaborated together to make the best Pinot we possibly could. And Barry was the lucky winner, and it's a beautiful wine.
Yeah, we're going to try and build a tasting around it, too, I think, with the other featuring the other wineries that are part of the association. Eric and I were just talking about it.
How did your rosé tasting?
Rosé was very successful. Warm, sunny day, nice surf rock music in the background. And yeah, it was a big hit.
Well, when are you doing the next tasting?
Probably August, September range.
Do you know what varietal?
We're talking about maybe doing the Petaluma Gap.
Oh, okay.
And maybe get all the producers.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. And then next year when the barrel comes in, we do a second one. But, plenty of producers doing lots of different wines there that we carry. So,
Tom, the Klein. Are we talking Tom Klein?
No, I'm Tom Gindel.
No, I mean Klein.
The owners.
No, it's Fred Klein. Fred Klein?
Fred Klein. Any relation to Tom Klein?
No, it's not any relation to his brother Matt was the winemaker for quite a few years.
I know they don't own Klein Collision because they're one of my sponsors. that's just an auto body shop. It's not a winery as far as I know. Okay, Dan, more thoughts on Petaluma Gap.
Well, this next wine that we're doing, first of all, we did the 16 Deloach Pinot Noir from Stubbs Vineyard, which is actually in Marin County. The appellation is so broad that it does encompass some parts of Marin County, which is really helpful to understand because that gives you a somewhat of a distinctive characteristic. Although this wine is a little darker in aroma than I would have expected, this wine has a little bit of that roasted twig component.
You're talking about the 37?
The Stubbs.
The
Stubbs has got a little bit more of that smoky component, that little roasted, roast duck kind of a character.
Okay, since I'm not tasting, this Deloach is a Pinot?
It's a Pinot, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so now the 37, the 16 vintage of 37 Pinot Noir from was just down the road from Gap's Crown, you could say.
No, it's
by the raceway.
It's by Sears Point. Southeastern corner of the raceway. Right. Basically, it juts onto the bay, the San Francisco Bay.
So if you were looking for an aromatic touchstone for this entire appellation, you would basically say that this is similar a little bit to Central Otago in New Zealand, because in Central Otago, your Pinot Noirs are going to have a little trace of wild thyme, T-H-Y-M-E. And in this case, here the wild thyme does show up. It shows up almost a little bit like a little bit of tea, maybe a trace of tea combined with these dried cherries and maybe a little bit of dried strawberry. This is a really fascinating wine because it has such wonderful acidity. This is a wine you absolutely want to put this in the cellar for two or three more years.
It's a much brownier wine. You've jumped from Chueno Valley Road, right where it goes from Petaluma into Marin, all the way to the San Pablo Bay, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Still all within the same weather pattern, but quite a bit different soil types, I would imagine, and exposures. So the wines are distinctly different, but have kind of a thread running through them with certainly acidity.
I think that thread starts with the mid palate of this wine is so succulent, all you want to do is drink it. Mm-hmm. But if you can keep your hands off a few bottles and wait until it starts to come around, this is really going to be an exposure to a new appellation.
Most of us aren't as patient as you, unfortunately.
Nobody is more patient than Dan Berger. Yeah. Dan Lay It Down Berger, that's what I call him. It's Tom Gendahl, assistant winemaker. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Assistant winemaker at Klein. Erica Stancliff is the winemaker at Trombetta. We're talking about the Petaluma Gap. Became an AVA in 2017. Was that the last one, or was Fountain Grove after that? I don't know.
Fountain Grove actually came first.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We are the newest AVA to Sonoma County right now.
Okay. That's what I thought. It's hard keeping it all straight. But.
We, Erica and me, are really, really proud to announce that we've got this wonderful cruise plan next year.
Petaluma
Gap. Have some fun. Drink some wine. Eat some good food.
Too bad it's not starting tomorrow. You could get out of town. Not have to watch
this. I wish it was starting tomorrow.
Yeah, actually.
It's a wine cruise on the Danube River.
Correct.
April of next year.
Yes, and we start in Budapest and go all the way into Germany. We have a few stops.
Is that how you say it? Budapest?
I don't know. I'm working on this, man. My pronunciation, I believe. believe that's correct.
It is.
I think.
Correct.
My French, my French.
Budapest or Buttigieg, whatever.
My French is horrible. My German is like butchered English German, and I'm hoping that my...
My accent doesn't allow me to speak any other language rather than just borderline English.
So if they go to PetalumaGap.com, they can get all the info on the cruise.
We're doing a 10-day cruise from Budapest all the way through to Germany. It's hosted by myself and Erica here. 37 Wines will be joining us. We'll be pouring wines the whole cruise. It'll be a great time. Side excursions. It's a small boat going up the Danube River, and it should be a blast. I'm really looking forward to it. Can I let my hair down a little bit?
I'm going to eat all the food that I can eat and all of the wine that I can drink.
Extra sommelier? Yeah, I think I'm clear that way.
I will. Well, yes, and you get a discount till the end of July, too. Oh, $500 off a stateroom. All food's included on the cruise.
I've made a final decision. I'm going.
Good. There you go. Yes.
For free, of course.
Sponsored link.
I'm Steve Jackson, damn it. I don't pay for anything. I'm just, I kid. I'm a kidder. Okay. Well, that's pretty cool. This is the first, well, obviously, you've not done anything like this before.
We did a small river cruise with the Alliance members in 2017 down the Rhone River. It was a total blast. Definitely was a lot of fun going through, you know, the Rhone River and seeing Hermitage and seeing Beaujolais and all of these amazing cities. I had never been to the south of France before. I definitely think I ate my way through Provence, and I enjoyed every second of it.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Oh, yes. Brought home a lot of wine. So the trip, the ticket is always to take your clothing, ship it home, and put all of your wine in your suitcase and bring that through customs, because it's a lot cheaper to ship home clothes than it is to send home wine.
Look at the professional tips there.
Yes. Yeah. Just a little fun fact for everybody listening.
Does the Petaluma Gap and its wineries, including Trombetta and Klein, you guys do, besides the wine cruise and stuff, but... locally, any events?
Yes, we actually just did a Petaluma event at Keller Works, where we had multiple wineries pouring for Petaluma locals who were coming through, and I believe Trombetta Family Wines was there, 37 Wines was there.
Was it a local...
yeah, it was called Petaluma Sips.
Right.
And so there were a lot...
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so a lot of local... We do try to do as many local events as is possible and support as many local organizations as is possible. But, of course, being in the middle of wine country, there's a lot of competition with different events coming up. So it's always hard to keep yourself above the noise and keep interest. And that's what we want to do, is drive people to this new wine region and try to explain why we're so special so that people can see it when they taste the wines. They understand, but it's always about the message and getting it out there.
There's a huge amount of growth in the Petaluma Gap. I mean, we're making fantastic wines, highly rated, and we're only just under use this name, Petaluma Gap. Once you discover how many wines are actually made within the Petaluma Gap, you'll be blown away by the quality. And so it's all kind of our job together to work and promote it and promote awareness and really bring people to the Petaluma Gap and get these wines going.
I noticed that our guests, who haven't been in for quite a while, aren't complaining about the freezing temperature in here. That must be because the Petaluma Gap is
you know, this is normal for the Gap. It's why I'm wearing a flannel, and it's like 80 degrees outside. We're just normal with this temperature.
And it's 36 in here.
This is low wind for the Petaluma Gap.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Mike, bring the fans in.
Not blowing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, well, the Drive is a cold climate radio program.
So. Perfect.
Yeah.
Is it
ice cold
or is the broom cold? Which one is it?
We also call it the Jackson Gap.
This is cellar temperature right now. This is what Tom and I are both used to on a daily basis.
So anyway, we've got to talk about this wine. This is fantastic.
Yep. This is a really fascinating wine. This is a 2015 Klein Syrah from the Petaluma Gap, not far from Rogers Creek, which David Ramey has used fruit from for several years to make a very distinctive black pepper-scented Syrah. So here's a Syrah that has a trace of that same characteristic, which is otherwise known as rotundone. Rotundone is the chemical description.
Rotundone.
Yeah. It's a chemical description for the term that refers to the black pepper smell in wines, also in pepper itself.
I've never heard that.
And when you smell this wine, you smell a trace of that black pepper. What's really fascinating is that they are always talking about have Syrah having a black pepper smell, but it doesn't if it's grown in a warm climate. Mm-hmm. It will not develop that character, even though the terms that are used to describe the wine are always black pepper, but it's not there.
Yeah.
It's only there in a cold climate. I don't know why that is. People are making it up, I guess. All right, whatever
it is. You wrote an article about that showing ageability in a wine as well, I believe. Did you not?
Not only that, but these wines are bulletproof. These things don't go anywhere. They just get better and better and better. We have some 05s and 06s from a cold region in New Zealand, and the wines have just gotten better. And this is Barry and I are talking further about this tomorrow.
But this one's made in amphora as well, which is pretty unique.
And you don't see that every day. About that.
So in 2015, our first vintage working with amphoras, we are partnered with an Italian winery that is working. They've got a term called biointegral, so they're doing a version of organic farming. They sent us the amphora, so we've been working in partnership with them. We were sent 15 amphoras, and this was the first wine we ever made in them. So we don't know too much how to make wine with them at this stage. We just threw Syrah in it. Syrah was like its home. It just loved
natural.
It. Loves the oxidative atmosphere, small fermentation vessel, lots of punch downs, lots of extraction, and then also just really aged wonderfully. So we fermented them in the amphoras for 2 weeks, and then they went down to barrels for aging for a year and a half, and they just kind of softened, rounded. The amphoras, they're terracotta pots, just large terracotta pots that have about 200 gallons. The deal with them is that terracotta is a basic substance, wine being heavily acidic, you kind of get a little bit of a reaction. So not only do you get the natural acidity from the Petalumac Gap, you get a little bit of that salt, saline quality from the reaction between the amphora and the wine, and that saltiness, that saline quality enhances that acidity and keeps it fresh, vibrant, while also having an oxidative quality, which gives you this voluptuous, rounded, rich, textural wines.
And additionally, you get a feral character. This is feral. I mean, this is
the vineyards on Lakeville Highway?
So, no, this is Stage Gulch. So, you Stage know where Willie Bird's Turkey Farms are?
Yep.
Across the road from there, just down a little bit. It's on the northern side of Tolle Park, the new Tolle Park.
Right.
Yeah. This wine is made for short ribs. Something awesome.
Mike,
really
will you
rustic.
Bring some short ribs?
Cut right through the fat. No problem.
You bet.
This would be good on the barbecue tomorrow, 4th of July.
Yeah. That's a beauty.
Mm-hmm. It's all about the Petaluma Gap, California wine country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Barry Herbst is here from Bottle Barn, of course, Dan Berger. Thanks to Tom Gendahl, assistant winemaker at Klein, Erica Stancliffe, winemaker at Trombetta, TrombettaWines.com, and what's the website for Klein again?
KleinCellars.com.
That makes sense. All right, guys, thanks. Great to see you both.
Thank you so much
for having us.
All right, and Barry Herbst, good to see you
good
finally.
To see you. Bottle Barn's open tomorrow, by the way, if people forget their stuff.
Oh, yeah. You got to be out.
The first place to
we'll
buy wine
until 5.
In Sonoma County by 5.
Hands down my favorite.
Next week.
Thank you.
Next week, spinning cone technology with Tony Dan.
Say what?
No, just you'll see it. Next week, you'll
that's
see.
That's a full wine geek card.
Spinning cone.
Spinning cone.
Spinning cone.
We're going to spin some cones.
That's correct. Yeah.
Ice cream cones?
No, we're just going to keep those plates on top of those sticks.
What is this, the Ed Sullivan Show? Also coming up tomorrow, Topo Gigio. All right, have a great, safe holiday.